Israel is not a country of celebrity worship, but there's still this aura that surrounds Amos Oz. He's a household name in Israel, and even though he hasn't won the Nobel Prize for Literature yet, he's rumored to be on the shortlist every year.
Hello.
Hello. Please come in.
Thank you so much.
Amos Oz is now 74 years old. He's of modest height, his hair is thin and mostly white, and he carries a pen and a fine-toothed comb in his breast pocket.
I'm wondering if you get a lot of correspondence from your readers, from people around the world.
I get many letters from readers. Some of them are very moving, some of them are very personal. People who have read The Tale of Love and Darkness, for instance, write to me, "I have listened to your story, now it's your turn to listen to mine." And then they write me their entire life story, and sometimes these are very exciting stories.
Let's talk about Between Friends, your new collection of short stories. The stories are intertwined. They're about one cast of characters living on a fictional kibbutz in the 1950s in Israel. I think they're quiet, they're poetic, sometimes funny, mostly sad. Why did you want to write about the kibbutz?
I have lived in a kibbutz for more than 30 years. And although I left the kibbutz 27 years ago, I still go back there in my dreams at least once a week. This signaled to me that it's time to go back and have a distant look at the kibbutz of the 1950s as I found it when I came there first at the age of 15 to start my life anew. And in Between Friends, I tried to watch the kibbutz not with nostalgia, not with anger, but with precision and compassion.
One of my favorite stories in the collection is called Two Women. It's about a man on the kibbutz who leaves his wife and moves in with another kibbutz member named Ariella. That is a theme that reoccurs in the book, wives and husbands on the kibbutz leaving each other for other kibbutz members. That idea of a tight-knit society on the kibbutz where, you know, everyone knows each other's dirty business. And I'm wondering if you think there are things that still exist in Israel from the old days of the kibbutz.
Yes, there are many kibbutz genes in Israeli society. There is a certain directness, a certain lack of hierarchies, a latent anarchism in Israeli society, which I regard as the heritage of the kibbutz, and I think it's a good heritage. I like it.
Some of the characters on this fictional kibbutz lost their parents in the Holocaust. Some of them didn't. But all of them came to the kibbutz to create a new life. I think many of them seem a little repressed in some ways.
Yes, I write many times about repressed characters, about characters who have made great sacrifices in order to establish the kibbutz. The founding fathers and mothers of the kibbutz community believed that they can change human nature in one blow. If only everyone does the same work, lives in the same quarters, dress the same clothes, share everything, eats the same food, then pettiness and jealousy and selfishness and gossip and envy will go away and disappear. This was naive. It was unrealistic. Human nature is almost unchangeable. Certainly cannot be changed in one blow and in one generation.
I wonder if you think that Israelis are still trying to remake themselves, or is something different?
No, I don't think so. I think this immature ambition to change human nature in one blow is gone.
What has replaced it here?
Well, a certain kind of hedonism, middle-class values, passion, noisiness, pushiness, warm-heartedness. Everything that is very Mediterranean is true about Israeli society. It's a very Mediterranean society.
Is there any moment that stands out in your mind from your experience on a kibbutz, emblematic of that old kibbutz?
There are many such moments. I remember a fiery argument in the secretariat of kibbutz Hulda when I applied for one working day each week for my writing at the very beginning of my career as a writer. And there was a huge debate in the kibbutz committee. And some people said yes, and some people said no, it's a dangerous precedence. Everyone can call themselves an artist, and then who will milk the cows? And it's not for the committee to decide who is an artist and who isn't an artist. And there was even one man who said that young Amos may be the new Tolstoy, but he's too young to be a writer. Let him work in the field until he's 40, and then he knows something about life, and he can write. Maybe he was right.
Today, at 74 years old, Amos Oz writes every day. He didn't get the Nobel Prize for Literature this year, but there's always next year. For The World, I'm Daniel Estrin, Tel Aviv.